What's up, Podcast Land? Episode number 117 featuring Arm the Witness is brought to you by Silence and Solitude. Based out of southern New Jersey, Silence and Solitude is a metalcore quintet that consists of Shane Roxas, Colby Hempel, Cody Mitchell, Alexander Coates, and Justin Pomper. The band formed in early 2015 and made their debut in September of the following year, 2016, having spent the previous year writing and recording. And what did that lead to? Well, their debut album, Resurgence, came out in December of last year, 2016, which debuted at number 20 on the iTunes Metal Charts. They have released music videos for their singles Suffering, Deceiver, and for the cover of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Damn right. Nailed it. What up? But, you know something? I could say that it's a great album. They could say it's a great album. Well, but what about New Transcendence? What do they have to say? Well, I'll tell you what they had to say. They said Resurgence is a must-listen for 2016, without a doubt, especially for fans of metal and its subgenres. If you're looking for something that is emotionally powerful, but not too whiny, aggressive, but not hate-filled, and will stand the test of time, this is the album you've been searching for. For more information, visit www.silenceandsolitude.com. Episode 117 is also brought to you by 627. Imagine the Foo Fighters and Muse stuffed in an underground studio during the nuclear holocaust with nothing but Weezer and Radiohead albums to session. Well, you can listen to that thanks to 627, delivering the attitude of an underdog and the punch of a champion. 627's chunky guitar riffs, charismatic vocals, and emotional solos are the most beautiful ass-whooping your ears ever took. For more information, hit up dub7records.com, that's dub, the number 7, records.com, and like them on Facebook at facebook.com/written out 627, and then the numbers 627, so 627, 627. And lastly, the Behind the Barricade podcast is very pleased to be sponsoring the Golden Hearts Festival, taking place August 9th and 10th at Gramercy Theater in New York City. It's a new festival that promotes the best New York City and New Jersey local bands, all in 2 days. Day one, you have a bunch of great bands. Day two, you have a bunch of great bands, including Monument of a Memory, Jinx. We also have Approaching Troy. The band Varsity is on this. It's going to be wild. Wild, like Zach Wild with a Y instead of an I. That's how wild this is going to be. Tickets are only $16 for each date. Come on out, show your support for this new festival, and support the local scene. Now let's get into it. Daniel is up next, and he is speaking with Arm the Witness, and it happens right now. From out of the wasteland of generic podcasts and radio shows, one has emerged. It prides itself on having conversations with the most talented musicians from all over the world. If you like a boring question and answer interview, this isn't for you. If you want deep conversations about anything and everything, you've come to the right place. Your new favorite show starts now, and its name is Behind the Barricade.
What's up, Podcast Land? This is Daniel Tao, and this is another episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast. In this episode, I talk with the band Arm the Witness. They're metalcore, and they're from Virginia. We go over their song Envy and how it was working with Justin Reich, who has worked with bands or filmed with bands such as Black Label Society and Nonpoint. We go over them playing shows with Icy Stars and Veil of Maya and how it was interacting with certain members of those bands, which one of them we actually interviewed on the podcast. And also we discussed living in Virginia and how the road rage there is similar to road rage in New Jersey, except people get shot with crossbows and you get stuck behind tractors, and you can use that as an excuse to be late for work. But anyway, without further ado, I present to you Arm the Witness. Peace. Do you guys have practice today? Or
We're actually rotting right now. We're doing some pre-pro and working on a cover that we got coming up.
Cover? Can you announce what song you're doing?
We haven't put anything out yet, so we'd rather not announce it yet.
Ah, no problem. So other than the cover, are you working on any new music or?
Currently we actually just finished recording our EP Collapse with Nick Scott. He's done bands like Icy Stars, Attila, Amir. We're awaiting the masters and everything on that, and we've actually already started pre-proing for our full-length album that we plan on doing at some point in the next couple years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to actually ask that because I saw you You guys only released one EP and then that single, or did you have like another one?
Well, we released one full EP. I actually joined the band about 2 years ago now, and since then we've released three singles. And then, like I said, we just finished the whole entire EP, which actually has those three songs on it. Mm-hmm. And should be releasing that around the end of the year, beginning of 2018.
Nice. Yeah, so I was, before the episode, I was listening to a couple of you guys' songs. Obviously, I started with Envy because that was your latest post on Facebook. I like it a lot. I'm a metalhead myself, so I mean, yeah, so like metalcore, anything that's like melodic and heavy, you know, obviously choruses if they're singing in it, that's like a bonus, but it was very good. I liked it a lot. I don't know if I consider it metalcore. You guys would consider it metalcore or?
Yeah, that's usually, we consider it to be a metalcore. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you try to like stick towards that, or do you guys not mind like going out of like that style and kind of changing things up?
Yeah, we really don't mind. We kind of draw inspiration from all kinds of different music genres. Mm-hmm. Everything we put out has a little bit of bass to metalcore in it, but you can definitely see the other inspirations in our music.
Yeah. Do you what are like your top influences? Are they like metalcore bands, or is that just like what comes out after listening to a whole bunch of bands?
I would say that we honestly all have quite different tastes. I personally, I like a lot of pop music. I'm honestly, as weird as it sounds, I'm a fan of stuff like One Direction, but mm-hmm. then at the same time, I love all, you know, a lot of big metalcore bands. Some Bring Me the Horizon, if you would consider that metalcore, Crown the Empire, things like that, I'm also a big fan of. Mm-hmm. Say Logan here and everybody else, honestly, I'd say they all have quite different tastes though for me as well, and we just all kind of draw in on that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have like a wide range of musical tastes, obviously, you know, from taking lessons and learning all like different styles, but I don't know, I'm just so addicted to like that mainstream hard music. So if it's like metalcore or really popular like new metal, you know, like Red or Breaking Benjamin or 3 Days Grace and Disturbed. But yeah. I'm just like so addicted to those styles of music that I don't branch. Like I do branch out sometimes. If I hear a song, like I have to listen to it or download it. But I mean, most of the times it's just, I need to find that next band. And now I'm like currently stuck on like Motionless in White. And
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually got to our producer that actually did recorded and co-wrote Envy with us, he actually co-wrote with Motionless and White as well. Mm-hmm. On their past two albums.
Yeah, their latest one was freaking amazing. I don't know, they're kind of a weird band because like I like four or five songs and there's some that are like terrible. Like I'm gonna flat out say like there's some songs that are just freaking horrible, but then there's some their last single the single before. But 570, dude, that freaking song is like a masterpiece. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, agreed.
So what, as far as like metalcore bands, like what are those influences? Is it Motionless and White, or like do you stick to the like the primary core, like Azalea Dying and August Burns Red and Killswitch Engage, bands like that? Or
My personal inspirations are Icy Stars and Memphis Mayfire. I'd have to say those are probably two of my like all-time favorites. I can just listen to any album back to back.
I think I've never heard August Burns Red put out a bad song. That's actually my top one favorite band.
Yeah, this one bass player that used to be in one of my previous bands, he would freaking rock that all day, every day. Like, dude, August Burns Red, he's like the greatest band ever. I mean, personally, I don't really like them too much. I mean, they're freaking amazing. Some songs are just sick, but I'm more into like the structure, like August Burns Red is basically like Azalea Dying without the structure, like verse, chorus, verse, you know, they just kind of like play. It's like almost riff after riff, you know?
Yeah.
But it's still
more
sick.
Like a story.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, dude, it's unique and that's probably why they're popular. You don't really hear a lot of bands that do shit like that. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
it's basically like there's a lot of bands out there that they have songs like August Burns Red, but they have to throw in two choruses, you know?
Yeah.
But actually going back to Icy Stars, we actually interviewed Brent, I think his name was Brent, either Brent or Brett Allen. He is, I think he played bass. At Warped Tour. But dude, that was like probably the craziest episode. He was is a pretty crazy out there guy, but he was awesome to talk to. I mean, I'm not out there in like a bad way. I mean, I guess you could just say unique. But you guys, didn't you guys play with that band?
We did. We played with them on their Red, White, and Blue tour, and it was excellent. It was an amazing show.
They've done a good show.
did you guys interact with them at all? Or
so what was that? One more time, I missed it.
Did you guys interact with them at all? Or
we got to go out and meet them. A couple of our guys got to go up on the tour bus and hang out with them for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. Very awesome guys. Mm-hmm.
Smoke some weed. I see you also played with some other pretty big bands like Moth to Flames, Veil of Maya. Did you get to interact with any of those bands or?
We got to interact with Veil of Maya a little bit.
I got to interact with like Moth to Flames a little bit. Mm-hmm. They were all really cool dudes too.
And how does it feel to play with bands like that? That you listen to and you see the tour and they're like got music videos. Obviously, you guys have music videos too, but and then boom, you're playing with them and meeting them and going on their tour bus. Like, how does that feel?
Very inspiring.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me get in my car and say, all right, I'm ready to write some more music now.
It's a very humbling experience.
Yeah. It is an amazing feeling when someone that you've looked up to for so long is you're there sharing the stage. And then we play with Ice Nine Kills. And the bassist for them told me that he enjoyed our set, and which is such a huge compliment to come from someone that you think you need to prove yourself to, you know. Yeah. And it's a really cool feeling. It's probably one of the best that I get, especially from like going to different places and playing and having that welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we played for my band Dead Tide. We played for Fear Factory. It wasn't coming from a member of the band because they were like not there, but one of the tour members, whether he meant it or not, and was just kind of like blowing smoke, where he's like, "Oh, you guys are really good. I never really say that." So like, even if he was just like blowing smoke on my ass, it's still like, all right, there may be something here if this dude who's saying, you know, he's touring with these professional bands and he thinks your band is pretty sick. So
very good feeling.
Yeah, I mean, not for nothing too. I always discuss this with like John and people. Like, I know that there's bands that you guys listen to, like Moth to Flames, Veil of Maya. They're kind of out there. But then I think to myself, there's Killswitch Engage, there's Bullet for My Valentine, there's you know, Azalea Dying, Lamb of God. But those are bands that have been around for a while. Like, what bands do you think are going to take the reins of these bands, like, after they're gone? This goes back to my point I wanted to make about that is, you know, they're giving you props. Like, you might be the next Killswitch Engage. Like, you might be these bands that basically everyone that's, like, the most popular of your genre that everyone, like, looks up to, and that's, like, the primary tour. You know, they're the ones that are going out that people are supporting. So yeah, if you hear that from someone like that, you could be the next Killswitch Engage. But what bands do you think might take the reins of those really popular bands that basically take all the headline tours?
I would say right now, I mean, a band that I've been listening to a lot that I think is really kind of really getting up there and making moves every day, it seems like, is Wage War. Mm-hmm. I've really been digging everything they put out. And like I said, it just seems like they keep progressing. And like I said, they're a pretty new and up and coming band.
I think Too Close to Touch is one of my biggest inspirations right now. I mean, their vocalist has a crazy unique voice and the way that he actually sings his melody lines and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, I know I really enjoy listening to them. I could see the rest of the world hopping on board with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny though when I talk to people, especially like your band where your music is similar to the bands I listen to, and then I ask for like influences. Obviously I see stars and know them and the bands that you played with, but then you just mentioned those two and I'm like, I've never heard of these bands ever. and you see like
music out there.
Yeah, and if you look at Craigslist, you see like all these post, you know, looking for band members and stuff like that. And then you see them list like, all these bands that they like. And you're like, where are these? Like, there's all these bands that are popular out there that you have no clue of. That is basically, like I was saying, it's a similar style as you guys. And you've never even heard of them before. And like you guys are saying that they could be this that next huge band that everyone's touring with. And I've never heard of it. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the struggle. There are so many good bands out there. I mean, there's tons of good music everywhere you turn. I mean, somebody's doing something that I've never heard before, and I'm like, wow. I mean, that just blew me away.
And also, too, about the bands that are, like, popular, what bands do you think that aren't, like, you guys might not know off the top of your heads, but what bands, they might even be the bands that you mentioned, but what bands do you think that kind of fly under the radar that you're like, every album they put out is freaking amazing. Why aren't they like the most popular of this, you know, this genre out there? But they just, for some reason, they fly under the radar and don't get that attention.
I think Ally and Color is probably one of the bands that I see that way. We got to play a show with them, and we actually had all the guys come over and stay at our house like afterwards. And they are just really awesome guys. They take everything about their career very seriously. And every single one of them in that band are extremely talented.
Another one I think would be Solar. They put out some really good fucking music, and like a lot of people haven't heard of them.
Yeah, we went to see this band, me and John. They are called Conditions. I don't know if you ever heard of them. But like their one of their latest albums, it had like three hits, like amazing songs off of it. John, they were like big, and they came back and played a couple of shows and did a tour, I guess just to like come back. But then they called it quits. And I hear those three songs that are really good and that really stick out to me on their latest album. And I'm like, how is this band freaking not popular? You know, whether it's like the wrong. I mean, they are popular to a lot of people, obviously, because they're touring. But as far as like main support and main, you know, like reach to people, I just don't, you know, like a lot of people say too, it's the wrong time, you know, like they were popular at the wrong time, or, you know, or just like their management that they went with, or the label contract that they signed with maybe wasn't as beneficial to them. But it's just crazy to hear a band like that, that has like these amazing songs that you're like, if this was on Octane, you know, which it might have been, it should be like a popular on the big uns countdown, because it's that amazing. But anyway, also I wanted to go back to and actually talk about, you said that the that guy co-wrote your or co-produced the Echo song. Now he was a part of Black Label Society.
Well, the person who filmed the video for Envy, he films for many big bands. He's done like Nonpoint, Between the Buried and Me, Black Label Society. Yeah, I mean Zach Wilde from Black Label Society, and many other huge artists as well. The person who co-wrote and produced the song with us, Kyle O'Dell, he actually had also written songs for Motionless and White and Crown the Empire, as well as produced other big bands as well.
So how did you come into contact with him? Like, how did you set that up? Or did he just have like something out there that you pay him and then that's it? Or did you have like connections?
Well, originally I'd actually worked with him and Drew Folk in a previous band that I was in. And from there, basically, it's just always stuck that we've worked with him. Drew actually moved out to L.A. Kyle still stayed in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is just a little not very far from where we're at. And we had been recording with him for a while with, like I said, MV, Self Construction, and the Badge of the Crown. We're all recorded with him as well.
And how was that experience? Were they like really cool, down to earth, or demanding?
Oh yeah,
or how
was that? Kyle and Drew are definitely really down to earth people. They really get the best out of your music, and you know, really push you to get everything you know, done perfectly. Really.
Do you remember any of the tips or kind of advice that they gave you when you were recording? Anything that you can share as far as that you thought was beneficial and what might even help you guys going forward?
Realistically, where I've worked with Drew and Kyle for a while, it's honestly hard for me to remember, you know, multiple tips and everything they had given me to mm-hmm. make me perform better, you know, as a recording artist. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I joined the band about 2 years ago as a screamer, and before that, they had actually recorded their whole EP with Drew and Kyle. And did y'all have any specific tips or anything, you know, that you could share?
Or just anything you guys, like, learned, like, after doing it, like, you know, oh, wow, I was doing it this way, and or they really pushed me to do certain things.
The biggest thing for vocals that I know that they were talking about is just emotion. I mean, it's in every single take. Like, that's the take that's going to sell, is the one that you have the most emotion in, the most drive, mm-hmm. the one that you, you know, push on the hardest. That seems to be always the tracks that they were, you know, oh, hell yeah, man, that was awesome. You know, that's a wrap for that mm-hmm. part.
And I feel like that kind of, since we're a developing band, you know, we haven't fully entirely found our sound 100%. And mm-hmm. Drew and Kyle, they kind of would push us to experiment a little bit so that we could really, you know what we wanted to hear and, you know, really lay that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny too, because when I hear about like Adam D from Killswitch, that he produces, you know, music for other bands, that they say he's like, I don't think he's like, I guess the good word would be like meticulous. You know, and I think you just, that's a lot of recording engineers. Like, after you record, you know, you think that take is pretty good. Maybe you made like some mistakes and they're like, oh, that's a good take, but they want you to do it again because they know that, like, oh, the next time you could get it like perfect or better than you did the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You always want to aim for perfection, and they were definitely tedious whenever it came to that. And that's what I believe helped for our album to come out and sound as good as it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the music video is pretty well done. And I mean, I especially noticed when in that one scene, I think it was before one of the verses or a chorus, might even have been a breakdown, where like, I kind of like in the beginning, it was going back and forth between frames. And in this segment, it was a zoomed out of the whole band, and you guys were just headbanging. And then when I saw that, and I compared that to other, you know, local bands that have their own music videos, and you could tell the difference. You're like, this is definitely something that you would see a more professional band putting out compared to like a local band.
Yeah, we take our stage show very, very, very seriously. Same thing with our music. You know, we always strive. The place that we actually practice is a dance studio. We have mirrors all the way around. I mean, with I think everybody in the music industry knows that the look is a big part of it. You know, even if you miss a couple notes while live, but you're, you know, throwing down, everybody's really having a good time with it, you know, that's really what matters, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I actually also wanted to ask too, I always find it funny, like, when you see a music video of like the lead singer, because like obviously he's like the main focus, same thing with like a screamer, so the camera's always on them. And you know, drummer are obviously like playing behind the scenes, and a guitar player is like same thing, they're not really paying attention to the camera, they're kind of just like headbanging. But then when you see the lead singer, they're like staring at the camera, they're like doing everything towards the camera. And obviously, like, live show is kind of the same thing, but you're doing that more to, like, a group of people. You're not really, like, focused on one thing. Do you find that awkward that you have to kind of, like, all right, these people are watching me, and I'm, like, the camera is basically dead on me, and I got to, like, basically, like you said, the emotion. So you got to pour out your emotion. It's like singing in the shower. Obviously, you're not naked, but where you can, like, just release it, and you don't really care, and you have to kind of do that for a music video. You have to basically not care about what people think or the way you look. And do you find that awkward, or do you find that easy to do because you do like live shows and stuff?
Well, I started as a bass player in another band back whenever I was in the sixth grade, and so I've seen both ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, you know, it'll make you sweat a little bit, you know, kind of realizing that, you know, I'm the one that's looking in the camera, you know, I'm the one that has to show the emotion and so on and so forth. It's, I don't necessarily want to say it's like you're like an actor, I guess would kind of be the term, but it definitely is a little more pressure, you know, as far as a live show, keeping the crowd, you know, involved and, you know, making it something that they're going to, you know, appreciate being a part of, making them feel like they're a part of your music while you're playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've always kind of felt like, in a way, I guess I felt the opposite. When I go out there, I've always been up front, and when I go out there and scream, it's kind of like something just overtakes me, and I just let it possess me and go with it, basically, and just let it all come out, basically, as loud as I can and put all the emotion into it that I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And don't really think about, you know, that everybody's staring at me or anything like that at all.
Yeah, I mean, and also, too, like, it kind of, I guess, goes hand in hand with, like, stage fright. So, I mean, if you can get up on a stage in front of people, you know, even not even that, like, the bigger the crowd, I think this might be the easier. But if you go up there for, like, 20 people and you're able to just rock out and scream, I mean, I guess if you don't have the stage fright there, then really into a camera shouldn't be a big deal because, I mean, it's a camera. It's not like there's really people behind it watching you.
Yeah.
And I also find it funny too when you hear some bands do that, like when you hear them in the studio, they don't want anyone in there. They want to be like completely isolated so that like they know that they can get the better take or the best take possible if they know it's just them basically rocking out with themselves instead of like people watching. And
Yeah, Kyle and Drew were real big on kicking everybody out of the room whenever you started on vocals. And, you know, I always told him once we went down the second time to record with them, you know, I'm not somebody that's really necessarily nervous, especially in a studio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always tell them you can let everybody in. It doesn't bother us one bit. Mm-hmm. We're all real close anyways. I mean, we pretty much see about every aspect of each other.
Yeah.
So
true that.
Mm-hmm. Were you guys, did you guys form the band as like friends or?
Yeah, me and my identical twin brother sitting behind me here. We actually joined. We were pretty much the roots that started the band. We both led worship at a church. We met some cool guys while we were there. Things kind of, you know, led to things. We've had some members leave, and we've had, you know, to remove a couple members. But I guess at the end of the day, we were the original roots of the band. We kind of, you know, got all this to work from there. And I would say that was probably, what, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
8 years ago, something like that. But now I think we have a solid group here, a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. I really believe we're going to be able to put out a lot more music and really do something with this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's good that you guys have that foundation of people that are, I mean, obviously, like me and my brother, there's no way we'd be in a band together. Obviously, obviously, the only other thing is he doesn't play music, but like, it's funny though, when I see bands like Chevelle that they have like members of the band that are brothers, but I feel like when you're friends with your brother, it's like a different bond, and obviously around each other all the time. So you can like get used to certain things, but you see all these bands that some of them, it's like, I think Haste the Day, I don't think they have any original members that started the band. And it's crazy to think that they could just go through members and be a completely different group of people and still make music under the same name. But you guys got that going for you. At least you have like a foundation of people, you know, and then you just need the roots. You need the other members in the band to form, you know, that connection. But I think you guys are pretty lucky and you guys have good music. So you're at least lucky on those two. No problem. So do you guys have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we do on, what is it, April 22nd?
Yeah, 22nd.
We'll be playing at the VFW in Bristol. It's a friend of ours band, To Your Dismay. It's their farewell show, actually. Mm. so we'll be playing that with them. And after that, on April 30th, we'll be playing with It Lies Within and Blessing a Curse at Capone's in Johnson City, Tennessee. Got one at the Canal Club in Richmond on May 19th with Capture, which is ex Capture the Crown, if you know who that is.
No, I've never heard of him, but.
That's about all we've got coming up for sure right now that's finalized.
And you guys are going to just like focus on writing and practicing for the new album that you guys were going to release in like what, 2018?
Yeah. Yeah, the main thing, I guess we're.
like I said, we're pre-proing everything right now for our next album. Hopefully we'll have 20 or more songs to go through and really pick out. But currently we finished our EP Collapse, and we'll be releasing that around, like I said, about beginning of 2018. Mm-hmm. With that, for the rest of the year, we'll just be riding, playing kind of like Weekend Warrior dates and just a few shows here and there. Mm-hmm. And we'll be, like I was saying earlier, we're also working on a cover right now. Mm-hmm. And trying to get all our merch and everything like that together so that when we do release the album, we're ready to really market it.
Yeah, that's a good, good solid plan. And what do you do? What are you going to do for like the pre-production? Do you guys all get in a room and riff together, or do you send tracks separately, like recording it at home? Like how would you guys do that pre-production?
We also do a little bit of both.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, you know, we always like to pull our heads together and really kind of decide what are we going to do with this song? What direction are we going for? And then, you know, at the same time, everybody will work in it, you know, on their own time. Bring their ideas back, you know, hey, I got this idea, you know, y'all let me know what you think. You know, we either keep it or trash it, but regardless, we're always trying to put out, you know, the best music that is possible for us, something that really, that we enjoy listening to, because I believe if we enjoy it, the rest of the world will too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny too, when I hear, like bands that are on the road, when you hear that, like, oh, this we wrote this song like in our dressing room before we were about to play a show,
yeah,
and it's just crazy. Like when, like a lot of these songs are formed like mobile, like, oh, I recorded it on my cell phone and sent it to the guitar player, and he just took it from there and recorded it at his home studio, and then boom, it turned into like a hit song. It's crazy how that works out. And so that show in Tennessee, you guys far from Tennessee? You guys are from Virginia, right?
We're actually, well, I live in Tennessee and the rest of the guys live in Virginia technically, but we're right on the border of Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Kentucky of West Virginia are all within an hour of where we're at.
Do you guys get a lot of, do you see a lot of country fans around there? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're actually Bristol, which is kind of like the Tri-Cities area, is the birthplace of country music. Mm. Yeah, so yeah, we see a lot of that.
Are you guys sick of it? Like, get this twang out of here.
Yeah.
Funny story, me and my twin, again, we actually did a country wedding for some friends of ours. They wanted some entertainment for it, and of course, you know, this area is big on that. So we actually learned a couple of country songs and went and played a wedding this past summer.
Oh, damn, I was like, you guys dropped your guitars and headbanged at a country wedding.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was definitely fun. It was an eye opener, I guess. Yeah. Say, I'm probably not going to try to do any more country music. It's not really, I guess, my cup of tea.
Yeah, I mean, hell, if you do weddings, you make pretty good money. But
yeah.
I don't
know. Trying to make some on the side, right?
Yeah, a dude playing metal doesn't want to freaking revert to playing weddings and playing country music.
Yeah,
but then again, some of them do. Some metalheads love like country. I don't know. I can't stand it because it's like pop, you know?
Yeah. I listen to anything that's got a little bit of talent to it, but I'm definitely
a little bit of talent. Country has none.
Yeah. I'm going to say country music's probably the lowest on my list of everything that I listen to.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, it's not without talent, but it's like country pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't like any new country. Yeah. I'll say that.
And it's really popular, especially up here. I mean, the city I live in, it was like, not like rednecks, obviously, but it's just like really, you know, more country. And you see some people are, you know, I'm not saying it's abnormal, but you see people with just like average cars, and then you see the people with like lifted trucks, and they're like blaring country music. And
yeah.
But
I'll tell you a little side note here real quick. I think you'll think it's funny. Where we're from, it's acceptable for being late to school or for work or whatever. If you tell them that you were stuck behind of a tractor, it just automatic. That is a free pass. It doesn't matter, you know, how late you were. If you got stuck behind a tractor, everybody believes it.
Oh, sorry. I got stuck behind this tractor on 84.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, here, the only time you get stuck behind something like that is like a random backhoe, which is really rare. or whatever you call it. You know, those small things that are like driving up the road at like 10 miles an hour. You know, it's like, that's get everything. The fuck out of the way. I got to go to work. That's funny. He's like the guy driving, it's got a straw hanging out of his mouth and he's wearing overalls.
Yeah, sometimes you even got to, you know, get off the side of the road because the tractor is so large, it's taking up his lane, half of the grass on his side, and then half of your lane, too. It can be really frustrating, I'm not going to lie to you.
Do you guys like that, though, being a metal band from an area like that, or?
I mean, yeah.
We get some interesting looks.
I mean, I like the mountains, I'll say that, but yeah, we definitely get some interesting looks for the way that we dress and present ourselves, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, and like up here, it's not any like abnormal to see people dressed like in black. I mean, it's especially because we're close to New York City that you see so many different people, obviously. But I mean, the good thing where you guys live, West Milford is where I used to live, is kind of like that. But it's you're secluded, but not. I mean, for me, it's you're basically like 30 to 45 minutes from everything. Yeah. Obviously, some places are a little closer. Like you can just go to a normal store, but like there's no crazy traffic. There's no freaking noise other than like an annoying freaking dog or something. But
yeah.
You know, when you go to sleep, it's pretty much quiet and it's pretty much, you know, it's not noise. Like that's why I like that kind of area where it's just like you feel like you're at peace and you're not scared of your neighbors, but you don't have like mad people around. Or and then some areas around here, you go to like a city and it's just like cars basically like in a line, almost bumper to bumper. And I'm like, I hate areas like this. I like the country, but not so country, like farmland. But that you're just kind of like mixed with woods and secluded a little bit.
Yeah, if the speed limit says 55, I like to be doing every bit of 55. I don't like standstill traffic.
5 over is a rule for me.
Yes. Around here, it's 9, you're fine, 10, you're mine. Yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of freaking crazy drivers that ride your ass or no?
If you're talking about my wife, then yes, absolutely.
We got
a couple. I mean, it's not like unbearable. There's not nearly the amount of road rage that you would see like in
up here in New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's not, most of the time people aren't going to honk their horn at you unless you're like literally driving on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah. Like going past people waving here, it's like you get the finger and like, dude, it's crazy.
Oh man, that's not nothing, dude. Where I used to live, there was a dude that got out of the car at a red light because he was honking behind him and shot the guy with a crossbow.
Oh shit! Did he kill him?
Like he went into his trunk, loaded the crossbow. The light's already green, and then he shot him through the windshield and I shot the dude like right in the throat.
Holy shit!
Yeah, it was messed up. I was like, that's my hometown, man.
You know what, like, there's a lot of road rage, and I always like have that road rage too here. And I'm like a mad, nice, like easygoing person, but I always think that shit too. Like, you know, yeah, I can drive fast and I might be able to drive better than that person, but like, do I really know that this guy's not going to just get out of his car and murder me or beat the shit out of me? You know?
What really are his morals?
Exactly. He's like, I won't think twice about getting out of my car, beating your ass at the next red light. Wow, at least I know that it's kind of similar up here, or it sounds like worse down there.
Yeah.
But I guess you guys are like a little bit more lax with like guns and stuff down there.
Oh, everybody's. Yeah, everybody's.
Yeah.
You don't have any gun-free zone signs?
No, unless it's the courtroom.
Yeah.
Unless it's the courthouse.
Yeah, which is like the stupidest thing ever. They should basically just paint over it and say, We're defenseless. Just try robbing and killing us. All right. Well, it looks like I'm out of questions and stuff to talk about. So if you guys have any plugs, again, if you want to reiterate the shows that you have coming up, if you want to promote your songs, if you want to promote where everyone can find you on Facebook, now is your time.
All right. Yeah, you can check us out. Actually, we'd like everybody to go to our official website. It's just armthewitnessofficial.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to give a shout-out to TRX Cymbals and Spectre Basses. They're our newest endorsements. We're really enjoying the products that they have and using them in our live shows has been great. We've got a great response from that. Our next show is going to be April 22nd at the VFW in Bristol, Tennessee. And that's going to be with our friends in 2 Year Dismay. That'll be their farewell show. So if anybody listening to this that lives around the area, definitely come out and see these guys for the last time. They're a freaking awesome band, and it'll definitely be sad to see them go, but they're also starting another chapter, and we're excited to see that.
Awesome. And then also to end the episode, we like to include a song of yours to play and kind of end off the episode. So if you guys want to choose which one of your songs you'd like to promote, go ahead.
All right. Do you want us to play it or?
Well, no, meaning like we're going to include it in the, in the actual audio. So you just have to pick it.
Pick envy or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Envy would be good.
Yeah. I mean, it's your music video and I thought it was pretty sick. So we'll end it with that. So, yeah, it was good talking to you guys. Yeah, I like your music a lot. I think you guys have a bright future if you stick to it and put in the work. And look forward to seeing you guys be one of those top popular bands that we were talking about before.
We do appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're done!